This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by the fine folks supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport and by Topps. Voyage across the Star Wars galaxy with Topps in an all-new trading card collection, The Journey to the Last Jedi, available right now at Topps.com. And Sperry, celebrate the 40th anniversary of the original Star Wars film with an incredible collection of Star Wars-themed footwear. Show off your Star Wars style in that galaxy far, far away, right here, right now. Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, Bob Iger killed Han Solo. Wait, what? No, that kind of. Well, maybe. Did he? We don't know. Also, Battlefront 2 updates in New York Comic Con is coming up! This is probably the most stressed Riley's ever been while recording a Star Wars Report podcast, not gonna lie. Man, I'm glad you guys can't hear the pre-show. Actually, wait, you can hear the pre-show, because I think I'm going to put it up as Rogue Transmissions, as I was furiously trying to set up a Facebook Live, and whatever. It's the Star Wars Report podcast! Hey, everybody. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, in case that was a question. It's about the craziest, most fun hour of podcasting this side of the Outer Rim. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad to have you on board with us for this episode, episode 301. Let's bring him in. It's my co-host for tonight's shenanigans. It's Mr. Mark Herleman. What's up, Mark?
Oh, you know, I'm messing with the U-Wing, trying to get everything straight, and I'm having a heck of a time with these engines, man. But it's good to be here.
It sounds like you're talking about like the Hasbro Billy Mays black and white portion of an ad. It's like, we've all been there. Messing around with the U-Wing fighter, it just won't go together. But here's someone to tell us how to do it and get it done. It's the man who gets it done around here. It's the producer of the program, Mr. Bruce Gibson. What's up, Bruce?
This is my favorite Star Wars report ever. This episode right here, right now.
Already?
Already, because just the pre-show, I'm looking at Skype and I see your guys' video. And Riley's on one side freaking out and stressing out because nothing's working right. And the other side, Mark is playing with his ships and just having the time of his life. It's like yin and yang going on right now.
That's literally the story of our entire relationship.
Riley's sitting there going like, oh, why isn't this working? And Mark's like, check this out. Woohoo!
This is true. I was having a lot of fun.
He's not helping, too, fun. I'm going to add. Just gonna say. Let's get into the news.
Dosa, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
I'm always fascinated by the big controversies of Star Wars, and so that's kind of what we're revisiting with the lead story here today, because Bob Iger was recently interviewed at a convention, and he had actually a lot to say. But we're going to focus on the Star Wars stuff because he actually made some news on some other fronts too. But he talked about that discussion. You can imagine, like, you pick up the script, JJ turns in the script to Kathleen Kennedy, and you get to that last moment with Han Solo and like, oh, turns out Han, old buddy, ain't going to make it. That's a pretty big deal. And it's not just a decision that JJ made. He and Kathleen Kennedy did consult with Bob Iger before making that final decision to kill him off in The Force Awakens. And this was at Vanity Fair's Nick Bilton, and they had their annual summit in Los Angeles. I'll tell you what, it's it was when they first started working with him. Here's the quote from the article here. We've got this from Polygon. When it comes to this kind of decision making, when they first started working together, their mutual concerns was how to balance legacy with innovation. And more bluntly, how much fan service could they get away with versus how much how many original characters, new worlds, and weapons would have to be introduced to appease the audience. Quote, we had a big debate about this Han Solo. That sounds That sounds like something out of 19. We had a big debate about this Han Solo, see?
See, that's what I want to know. What exactly were the points of the debate?
Should he die? Should he not? It was a decision made by Kennedy and Abrams, but I got involved. What does that mean? That sounds like the parent with the kid who's rebelling.
Like, he's like, I made my case and I lost.
Yeah. You think that's what it was? Because he does.
I'm thinking, you know, Kathleen Kennedy makes her mind up, but it's going to happen her way.
Yeah.
Not even Bob Iger could change her.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you hire her, right?
That's right.
She's a hit-making factory. So yeah, I don't know. Actually, and also, he admitted that he had a draft to episode 9, which. One wonders. But he's not going to divulge anything. Bruce, when it comes to this kind of decision making, does this surprise you? Do you see this as sort of a sign that Star Wars it points towards that sort of corporatization of the Star Wars storytelling industry, and it's no longer the independent filmmaker, but it's now a team decision, a board of Star Wars creatives? Or do you think that just makes sense? I don't know.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, in any company, any job that you have, if you're going to make a decision, you have to, of course, get the support of your boss or your boss's boss or whoever, the department, anybody you work with, you want to have that support. But George Lucas, you know, he ran the whole company. He was the boss. So whatever decision he made, everybody just nodded their head yes, and he did it. But this is a little different now. But, I mean, you know, it doesn't surprise me that this – I mean, really, think about it. They want to kill off Han Solo. And they wouldn't tell Bob Iger. Of course they're going to tell Bob Iger, and of course they're going to have a conversation about it. But at the same time, I'm sure Harrison Ford only had a contract for one film. So it wasn't a question of if Harrison Ford's character of Han Solo is going to be back or not. Do we just write him off like going off into the sunset, or do we kill him or put him in carbonite, you know, freeze him?
Yeah.
Now, is this the moment that Story Group weighs in? I mean, is this what Story Group is for, these decisions? And if
nope.
so...
No,
how come
it's not,
Bob's
Mark.
Not on this group?
No, it's not. No. Because, listen, you know what the Story Group is when it comes to these kinds of decisions? It's the people with the money. Listen, if you're talking about like what planets and speeders to fit together in the book, in the upcoming Chuck Wendig book, that's what the Story Group's for. If you're talking about killing off Han Solo, you're going straight to the director and to the head of Lucasfilm and the head of the entire Disney company. That just, like, by the way, let's just park there for a second. That's a direct indicator of just how transformative Star Wars as an entity is. The fact that when you're talking about making creative decisions about one of the major characters, Han Solo, the head of all of Disney and Lucasfilm, and probably the hottest director directing today, right now, those are the three people that all have to consult each other on, like, I don't know, what's the right decision here?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, yeah, absolutely, because they were kind of rebooting, restarting Star Wars again. So everybody has this huge interest. And it's not a question of, oh, if we kill off Han Solo, then he can't be in other films. I don't think that was the question. The question is, are we going to upset fans? Are people going to hate this movie because we killed Han Solo? They're worried about the fan reaction. And if they go out with the first movie, killing off a major character, and everybody hates it because of that, then yeah. They're screwed. So, of course, they're nervous about it. It's not a question of, well, if we kill off Han Solo now, he can't be in the other movies because, you know, Harrison Ford's already like, I'm not doing any more movies.
I'm going to do that Blade Runner thing. I'm sure that'll be good. Hey, have you seen the reviews for Blade Runner? Dude.
No.
It's at like 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's evidently really good.
I haven't seen the first one, so I probably should do that before
what?
This next week.
There's a film that came out in the 1980s that I've seen that you haven't?
I know, right?
What is this?
I still haven't watched, let's see, Godfather. There's another one that I
That's
haven't
true.
Seen.
That's something you've mentioned on the show here before. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We hadn't seen Indiana Jones in forever, but yeah.
I mean, my excuse is similar to yours. I grew up without power until the 90s. Like, so, I mean, I was like trying to make up for lost time. There were things that slipped past.
Here, there.
Do you think they'll make a Witness 2? Because that was a movie from the 80s, too, of course.
It was a lot to me.
I don't know.
What is that?
I've got a
That's the story of the
that?
Pre-show, my friend. Dude, that's the.
I have a great one. Oh, I just killed a bug. That's not my Boba's bounty. So, okay, news.
All right. sorry. News, you said?
We have something to report.
Okay, yeah. that piece of audio will work. Whether or not Riley can get any of these other pieces of audio to work is the question. That's the stress. Now. See, it's the interesting thing. Like when you podcast and stuff and you want to have all of your audio pre-cued so the show sounds really nice and professional, and then it's just and then it just doesn't. Mark, let me ask you one other thing about this Han Solo thing. Do you actually know anybody, Mark or Bruce, do you guys actually know anybody who was really upset? Because I can't think of a single, I can think of people online, but in sort of like my circles of friends and just talking to people I know in fandom, I don't really know anybody that just thought it was the wrong decision. Bruce is like shaking his head violently.
Oh,
up and down.
I did. And Riley, you may remember this because it was Dragon Con last year. We had a panel.
Oh my.
Han Loves Leia or something like that. I think it was that one. There was a woman on the panel that she leaves the theater every time that scene comes on because she wants to keep remembering that Han. She wants to make it feel that Han Solo lives on. So she does not stay for the whole movie.
Now that you mentioned that, I do remember that very awkward panel.
Yeah, both my parents, they both did not care for my mom more of all, though. My mom really hated the fact that they killed him off.
Really?
Yeah.
What? So just beyond just like, oh, it's sad, but I can see why it was important for the story. No, she just didn't like it at all.
Well, and what's really funny is my mom associates it all the way back to Lucas changing Han's character. And she's just like, he just tinkered with his character. It's like, my mom is so uninformed about it, but I love the fact that she just commits to it. I'm just like, okay, mom, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Whereas my dad, you know, he's read the EU books and stuff. For him, he's just like, man, they had such a great Han, and what they did to him, like, really sucked. Like, and that was kind of like where I was at when I was watching it too. Like it was very bittersweet. You know, I loved the movie, but
yeah.
I hated seeing Han die. But then now that I've read more canon and stuff, I'm like, this really wasn't my Han anyway. So I mean,
well, it's so
I guess I
the thing,
see why.
The what Star Wars in the original trilogy faced only with A New Hope. I'm running my brain through all the way through Empire and Jedi, and I can't think of any examples of it. I can only think of, in terms of the original trilogy, a clear example of classical tragedy, and that's the death of Obi-Wan at the end of A New Hope. But throughout Empire, while it's a dark film, there's no ultimate tragedy. There's no sacrifice of death. This Shakespearean dramatic.
Oh, Han Solo getting put in carbonite. I mean, aside from 3PO going,
yeah.
Oh, well, he should be quite okay. It's like, shut up, 3PO. Ruin the suspense. Jeez.
I know, exactly. But like, but no, seriously, like, and then he got unfrozen, and then he lived on happily ever after until The Force Awakens. And so if you think about it, the prequels really brought an element of tragedy with the with Revenge of the Sith. And I think so in terms of like tragedy, in terms of the saddest I've ever been and the most moved I've ever been, that there are two times I've ever teared up during a Star Wars film ever. The first time was watching Revenge of the Sith, because during Order 66. It just broke me. Because I was so invested in the Jedi Order and what had been lost and the ideals that were never actually, you know, realized. And that was moving, like the way it was built up and the tragic loss and the, you know, the foundation of Darth Vader. Darth Vader's born during Order 66 and the slaughtering of the younglings. That's just my take as a fan.
Yeah, but the whole original trilogy was dark. I mean, it kicks off, we watch a bunch of rebels die.
Yeah.
You know, Leia gets away.
Yeah, but
barely.
I didn't care.
No, she gets caught.
None of that.
All those
didn't
Jawas murdered. I mean, like... Man, that was a dark beginning of that movie. It was like, oh my god, everybody's dying, and then Kenobi.
Well, but
and then
but
Yoda.
That's the difference.
By the time we get to Return of the Jedi, I mean that, and Ewoks.
Well,
I mean,
and so
people die in these movies.
No, I see what you're saying. As people die, but that's different than tragedy, right? I see like the one moment of true tragedy, and I'm racking my brain to think of any other moments. Certainly the death of Owen and Beru as well. But of course, that's still constrained to A New Hope. So once you live out the original trilogy, it's reintroduced in the prequels. But and the other time, you know, I've mentioned two times. One time was Order 66 when I teared up. The other time was the third time I watched The Force Awakens, and it was the first time my mom had seen it. My mom was seeing it. That was that Saturday of the weekend it came out, and it just hit me really hard. The previous two times, particularly the first time, is just sort of like being paralyzed a little bit to, of just, but just like, you know, processing it for the first time. But once you, I sort of appreciated and took in like the full weight and meaning of the moment, that's where Han's death really hit me hard. And I think that's beautifully done. And I dare say that is the best, most emotionally impactful moment of the entire film, The Force Awakens, if you ask me. I think it's beautifully done, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But I do.
Now, when you think about the whole saga, it is hard to get past Order 66 and Nightfall. Like that, and then you have the "You Were My Brother" line with Kenobi.
Yep,
like those two moments. Mm-hmm. Like every time I hear the music of Nightfall in Order 66 going down, and we can do the montage and stuff, that just brings me, my eyes well up with tears, and I'm just like, ah, every time. And Master Skywalker, there's too many of them. I'm just like, run, dude, run! That's Darth Vader. Like, yeah. And I'm hoping that this next one is definitely going to put us there, because like, I have a feeling we're going to get to go back finally and see Luke's order fall apart. And I hate to put so much expectation in that.
Maybe.
But man, I'm hoping for a delivery on that. Just, it's got to be powerful.
Now, of course, the Star Wars Report podcast is made possible by our sponsor, Topps. This is the first of many officially sponsored Star Wars Report podcast episodes brought to you by Topps, which I'm actually really excited about because I'm literally, as we're recording this, flying out to New York Comic Con tomorrow. This is the other paranoid thing. I have to make sure our audio levels are good. Audio levels good? Yeah, there we go. All right. Feeling good. Topps is actually joining us and like the Geek Out Loud Network and Bruce and Blasters and the guys over at Jedi News. They're actually jumping on board and supporting a ton of the Star Wars community of podcasts. So big shout out to them. And we're included in that. And so here's the deal. You can check out everything they have in terms of Star Wars in their Journey to the Last Jedi line of cards. Now, I'm actually holding one in my box. I'm holding the box in my hand. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's this really, really, really cool complete box with tons of packs of trading cards. And you can buy these individual packs at all the Topps retailers. You can get it online at Topps.com. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to unbox it live on the show. What?
Nice.
Which is probably a dangerous proposition to do on a first podcast ad because, like, I need to make sure I don't mess this up. So this is running a great... I'm taking an awful risk, Lord Sponsor. Trying to both do the talking points on an ad, and I'm getting distracted by opening it. Here we go.
The gloriousness of the box.
Yeah.
The rectangular box with Star Wars written on it.
Guys, look at this. Whee!
Oh, look at that gold. Look at that gold.
I just definitely dumped them all over me. Nice. So, I wish you guys, we need a video version of the show, because now I've just like card packs scattered all around me. We're going to be doing a giveaway starting next week of Topps cards pack. So, but yeah, Topps. Now, this is like the best, worst, best podcast ad read ever. Topps. Let's see. All right. Here we go. Are you ready? You ready, Bruce? With Topps, you can voyage across the galaxy in an all-new trading card collection, Journey to the Last Jedi, 110 base storyline cards that take you on a journey to that galaxy far, far away with an exclusive sneak peek at The Last Jedi. They've got character stickers, character cards, sketch cards. They even have, like, prize autographs in some of them, which is super, super, super cool. And so, with over 30 actors and characters, all kinds of cool stuff at Topps.com. That's where you can catch this. I just opened a pack, and this is the official unboxing. We have a lot of the cool, like, vintage look, the old classic 1977 look. I'm showing it to the camera where
and
Bruce can see it.
They build a big picture on the back, some of these, too.
Yeah. And so, like, we got the Rebel Assault from Return of the Jedi, the First Order's Threat. Ooh, cool. We have some Clone Wars cards, too. We have Back to Mandalore, Rescue of Han Solo, Maz Band Plays On from Maz Kanata's Cants. Ooh, and nice. We have this really cool character card of Rey.
Oh, you got Rey? See, I got the Executioner with the pack.
And so this is set 3 of 15. It's like the look for Rey continuity cards in all Topps Star Wars The Last Jedi trading card sets. And this really cool painting of Rey from The Last Jedi. And you see some freaking porgs in the background.
Fantastic.
See? That's where Bruce is like that. Bruce is now officially sold. There it is. Tops, we really do appreciate them for supporting the program here. Check it out, tops.com, and that's where you can get all the stuff. And the Star Wars Card Trader app.
Yeah, that, I was going to say, have you checked out that Card Trader app lately?
You can get all the fun of physical card collection, but in the ease of an app where you can partner and collect with your friends. It's all right there at the Star Wars Card Trader app. You can find it in iTunes and Google Play and download it and try it out. So, without further ado, once more, we thank Tops for supporting the program, and back to the show. All right.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Eckstein here, voice of Ahsoka Tano, here at Star Wars Reads Day at the Little Shop of Stories, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Hey, look at that. Hey, we're going to be talking to her at New York Comic Con coming up this week, which is going to be a good old time. Battlefront 2, let's talk about it. There's a new single-player campaign, and there's actually a new scene. It's called The Messenger. Is this a scene, a campaign, a what? What's going on here, Mark?
This is a cut scene. Oh,
sweet. Oh, I'm going to play it. Let's see. I haven't seen this yet. Let's take a listen/look, everybody, as the Facebook video loads. We're almost there. As we see, it's rated T for violence. Oh, and Facebook now loads the other thing, and it's now going. Oh, it's there it is. Oh, wait, there.
The Emperor is dead.
So what happens now?
We retaliate, Commander. The Empire will assault the very foundation of the rebels' pathetic belief in themselves. Tell me, Aiden, what is the source of their belief?
Hope.
Correct. This messenger's presence is a great honor, one I choose to share with my daughter.
Admiral Versio, Operation Cinder is to begin at once. Resistance, rebellion, defiance. These are concepts that cannot be allowed to persist. You are but one of many tools by which these ideas shall be burned away. Heed my messenger. He shall relay you to your target.
Nice. I'm so excited that they actually have a storyline.
The Empress.
But Facebook needs to fix their video system. I'm sold. We talked about this last week on
Sentinel
the show.
Sentinel droids. I mean, you know, we've seen these in the comics. They were introduced there. We were also talked about in Chuck Wendig's Aftermath. That's actually where we got more of the details behind them. In fact, some of them are actually sentient, which I mean, okay, so think about that. I mean, that's the closest you're ever going to get to the EU's clone Palpatine. Like, it's funny, it's not a Palpatine plot, yet they've managed to bring a Palpatine is still around plot. Like, ooh.
True.
Yeah. Even his contingency.
True. Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, Bruce, and then also we have this story here that I wanted to touch on. There's this new, behind-the-scenes clips of The Last Jedi and some new features that Walt Disney's doing through some kind of partnership with National CineMedia. Is that like a cinnamon media? Is that like cinnamon?
Well,
toast crunch?
Yeah, you know when you go in the movies before the trailers come on, and you're seeing all these other ads and little
weird
featurettes
off-brand
playing
things for TV shows you'll never watch. Yep.
Yes. So now there's a new version of this that is coming that will include some never before seen exclusive behind the scenes content from The Last Jedi and the Han Solo film and any other titles from the Disney library of films.
Okay.
Ooh.
So, but what kind of films will it show before? Like what theater chains can we expect these things to be in?
I don't think they announced the theater change. This is a new service called Novi, and it's replacing First Look. So I would say any of the theaters you've seen First Look where you've seen Novi.
So which First
Pretty
Look?
Pretty much all of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've seen First Look a gajillion times. Yeah. Well, what will they do with the awkward hosts and the forced enthusiasm?
I think all those people went on. They're doing their own podcast now. I don't know what's going to happen to all those awkward hosts.
how else are we going to find out about the CBS third spinoff of the second cop show from 1998?
Well, they still may have some of that stuff. This is just a new company, and they have some exclusive deals with Disney.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense, because Disney's the hot property. Listen, I will go early to a movie theater if I think I'm going to see some stuff from The Last Jedi.
Well, you know, we have to keep an eye out so we can let everybody know that, hey, yeah, there's a behind the scenes, you know, and you got to go this week. It's on, you know, so we'll have to keep track of all that.
Mm-hmm. I go to the movies pretty regularly. In fact, I'm going to go see that. You know, speaking of Blade Runner, I'll report back. Maybe it'll be in front of Blade Runner, because that makes sense, too, because Harrison Ford.
I will go the crew
and
watch the sneak peek to let you know just for that.
Mark is our sacrificial lamb. Mark.
Yes.
You know, bravo.
I've already arm wrestled for watching The Last Jedi first, because last year they only let one employee watch it in 2D. And one employee watch it in 3D, and I did not get on that list. I'm like, I'm on the next list.
And you literally
how I watch it.
Listen, Mark, of the two people who got it on that list, did either of them have Star Wars podcasts?
No, but one of them was a fan, though. I was you actually made it to the Timothy Zahn signing at the bookstore, and
Mark, stop. Don't be gracious. Stop it. I want bitter remorse to fuel just from that for the next. Like 80 days, whatever it is until the release. I want full-on House of Cards style manipulation, and I want to see you manipulate your way into an early screening. You work at the theater. I want to see it. All right.
I know. When I was watching it too, I thought Andrew was messing with me when he told me that. He's like, "Well, you can stand in like the alleyway, like you're sweeping up the popcorn or something." I'm like, "Are you being serious? Or are you just messing with me?" He was totally being serious.
I'll probably just go to the world premiere if there's like a red carpet. I think I'll do that.
I'm sure. Bruce, let us know how it goes, because you'll be the only one out there. Oh, man. All right. And then also, by the way, we actually have, believe it or not, guys, we have two sponsors this week. It's a big week for the Star Wars Report, because Sperry has actually launched a new collection of Star Wars shoes. I literally just before the show started today shot a little unboxing and video where I kind of tried them on and had some fun with it. So
did they fit?
They did. and in fact, they're just the right size. So basically, they're Star Wars boat shoes, but they're really, really, really cool because they have these very. They're kind of my favorite things about Star Wars clothing. If it's subtle but noticeable, to where if you're a fan, you'll notice. And so, like, each one has either the Imperial cog or. They have the Rebel Alliance symbol, and they have some comfy shoes with some of the Ralph McQuarrie art. They have a lot of really cool Star Wars themed stuff in the collection. And by the way, I'll say it up right up front, and you can find it all at starwarsreport.com/Sperry, Sperry, starwarsreport.com/Sperry. And that way you can actually kind of look at what we're talking about. But I chose the Imperial shoes, and they have the really cool Imperial cog, but like right on the sort of tab that's sewn on the very back of the shoe at the ankle. They have the print design from the Death Star hallways. Nice. And that, I just really like those really subtle touches. So, they're basically, in honor of the 40th anniversary of A New Hope, all the shoes are based off of the original film, and the exclusive collection of footwear is available. Check it out at starwarsreport.com/Sperry. Exclusive design, exclusive style, and they are available at Sperry.com and, of course, all the Sperry retail stores with lightweight, breathable canvas. They are very comfortable, having actually tried them on and worn them around a little bit. I'm going to wear them at New York Comic Con. That's definitely going to be a thing.
They're Cloud SVO. They're floating on their website.
Yes.
Because they're supposed to be light.
Right? Exactly.
I've never heard of them referred to as boat shoes before. Like, they look like low tops, like almost van style.
Exactly.
Shoes,
you got the low top style. Yeah, for sure. So there it is. StarWarsReport.com/Sperry. Let's jump into, let me just put it this way. He's worth a lot to me.
He's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
Each week we talk about something we liked, did, or experienced in the world of Star Wars as fans. Mark, kick us off this week, my friend.
Well, it's been a great week. Literally, while we were recording last week, the From a Certain Point of View showed up at my doorstep. And then I went out with my mom the other day. We went out. We always go to Ross, and I take her out shopping and stuff. And she saw one of the sets that I was gleaming at. It had Jyn Erso in it. It had Cassian in there, and it had that Death Troopers guy. So she got me that. And then all of a sudden she shows up and she's got a TIE Striker for me the next day. I'm like, geez, mom, it's awesome. Then I come back the next day and I've got a U-Wing waiting for me. I'm like, what? Then I come back again and she's bought me again.
I want to be your mom's favorite person.
And the Storm Death Trooper guy. I'm like, mom, you just bought me that like not even 2 weeks ago.
What the heck? Just like, it's not Christmas time yet.
I know. Well, and this is what she does. So my son's getting that for Christmas now because I've already got it. But she buys everything and gives it to us early. And I'm like, Christmas comes. And we're all like, man, it'd be nice if we had some gifts under the tree.
She's like, you got them like 3 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. And we're like, any birthday gifts? We're like, no, I don't want it, mom. Give it to me on my birthday.
Mr. Wow. Bruce Gibson, how about you this week?
Well, speaking of birthday, so this week is a birthday week for me.
Oh?
And,
how old do you turn, Bruce?
50. Uh-huh. 50.
What?
It's a biggie. Becoming a rapper. What? 56.
It's a biggie. But here's the thing. So here's my Star Wars thing. It's related to my birthday. So today, during lunchtime, I was driving by Barnes & Noble, and because my parents asked me the other day, you know, what do you want for your birthday? And I was like, I don't know. My wife's like, what do you want for your birthday? And I was like, I don't know. And I know they got me a few things. I thought, well, I'll go to Barnes & Noble and just look to see what's, you know, there. Anything Star Wars related, maybe I'd want. But here's the thing that gets me. I went in because I thought if I buy it, I can give it to my wife. She'll give it to me for my birthday, right? So I go in. I went into the sci-fi fantasy section, and there was not a single Star Wars book on the shelves. Not what? One. Zero. I went up and down that aisle at least four times.
Which Barnes & Noble is this?
It's one I usually don't go to that often, but it's the one by Perimeter Mall in Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I know exactly which one. They have a dedicated...
No Legends.
They have a dedicated Star Wars section, though.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering. I was like, could it be that they're doing a dedicated Star Wars section? I couldn't find it. I did look around.
It's in the back corner of the room behind the comic books collection area.
Bruce, you couldn't find it because they had it behind the Harry Potter stuff and you had to run through a wall.
Well, they lost a sale because they hid all the stuff from me.
And from you, you'd probably buy at least three books. Come on.
Because I was even in the section where it had like Star Trek, Aliens, and Doctor Who books. I'm like, it's usually in this area with those books.
My sci-fi sense is tingling. Yeah. I'm in the right area.
Right. It was freaking me out.
I know.
I thought, did they sell out of all the books or what, you know?
I know, right? Right. For me on Boba's Bounty this week, it's all been New York Comic Con prep. All my Star Wars-iness this week has been New York Comic Con stuff. Getting ready, we're planning scheduling an interview with Ashley Eckstein. That'll be on the podcast next week, as well as some work that we're doing with Topps, speaking of which, because they're sponsoring us. So I'll be doing some stuff at the Topps booth. And it's just going to be a New York Comic Con-y awesome week. I love... Listen, it's probably... I'm gonna say it's number three. It's top three Star Wars, Star Wars ish conventions where you can do Star Wars stuff. There's not a lot of Star Wars stuff this year. There's the author panel, and a few other things here and there. But I just love the people. The Del Rey booth is always great to hang out at, and you know it's always a good time. So I've been deep in prep for all of that, and I'll be shooting a bunch of video that will be appearing on the Star Wars Report Facebook page and YouTube channel, and some blog posts and recaps and photos across all of the social medias. And so that's the plan. That's the plan. I should... Oh, wow. That's called like a hard out. Like when I said, I was going to like do it. And that's the plan. And that does it for this week's episode of the Star Wars Report Podcast. See, that's a better version instead of just the all at once. But that does it for episode 301. Except, wait, what? Stay tuned after the show. Actually, I'm going to attach a very special bonus podcast episode. It's going to be sort of like it's going to be like the double cheeseburger at McDonald's. Just not quite as unhealthy, but just as delicious. I'm going to tack on this week's episode, or last week's episode rather, of Rogue Transmissions. It's going to take the break this week and come back next week, but it's our Patreon exclusive podcast episode. And last week, We had Bruce, Mark, and Bethany jumped in the call for a bit, and we just reminisced about the past 300 episodes. So stick around after the credits if you want to stick around and kind of sample what Rogues Transmissions is like. And if you like what you hear, jump on over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport to check out the bonuses we have there and support the program. So big thanks to everybody who does that. And also big thanks to our sponsors, Sperry, StarWarsReport.com/Sperry. Check out their awesome A New Hope-inspired Star Wars footwear, as well as Tops. Tops.com, the industry and world leader in trading card collectibles. And of course, it's The Last Jedi. What can you do? They have. Listen, I randomly opened a pack of trading cards and I got Porgs. Right, Bruce? You just can't. It doesn't get any better than that. All right?
I'm okay with Porgs now.
Oh, Bruce has come around? Oh, but then what am I going to do with this bit?
Keep trying.
I'll keep trying. We'll have to listen. He overcame his hate, you know, and we all know what hate leads to. So we're gonna love the Porg. In fact, that should be our next t-shirt. Forget the Porg artwork. It should just be love the Porg. Love.
Yeah, I'm down.
Love Porg.
When you're
hate.
In New York, it's like I love New York shirt. Get I love Porg shirt.
New Porg City. So long, folks. May the Force be with you. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. We'll see you next week after New York Comic Con, guys. If you see me there, say hi. I might have something special for you. Just saying. All right, see you guys. Boom. That's a show. All right, on with the audio of Rogue Transmissions. Here we go. Hey, guys. It is Rogue Transmissions for the week of, what is this week? 27th. We're recording this on September 27th. It is now fall. I'm Riley Blanton, but you know that. You're a Patreon supporter, and you're awesome for being so. And this week's Rogue Transmission is... that's a toast. A toast to our 300th epiversary. And I have right now on the line... somewhere on some unknown state highway in Texas is Bethany Blanton.
Hey, I'm still alive.
Still alive? Okay, still alive. You're kind of under the... You've been quiet because Bethany is in the military, like I am. However, unlike me, she is active duty currently. So, like, you're getting ready. You had classes today, right?
I did. Today was my first day of class.
Any Star Wars references?
Not so far.
Boo. We're depending on you to provide.
okay.
But yes, Bethany, of course, has been along with the ride for so many of the last 300 episodes, so I had to at least try to get you on. Also, Mark Herleman's with us. What's up, Mark?
Hey, it's always good to be here.
Good to talk to you, man.
I'm still blown away by that. Right? Every time I stop and think about it, I'm like, wow. 300, and that's not even including the other things that we've done together. I mean, even
we're gonna talk about
itself,
it. Yeah,
Newcast, wow.
And then Mr. Bruce Gibson's with us live from
Georgia? My house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Live from the Alpharetta Annex of the Star Wars Report.
Just walked in the door.
Star Wars Report podcast. You survived the Atlanta traffic, sir.
I did. And I just realized I'm the newbie of the group. I'm the oldest, but yet the youngest.
You're the enigma.
Well, so the Star Wars Report, I just wanted to basically take this as an excuse to reminisce. And we could have done it on the main show, but we just more or less just did a regular episode, Mark and I. But I wanted to go through and talk about some of our favorite moments, and we'll just go around the table. I have a bunch of audio queued up that might strike some memories. Bethany, so and Bethany, you'll stick around with us as long as you have signal, essentially, is how the way this deal's gonna go.
Basically, yes. I will have died on the side of a road in Texas.
If you
one or the other,
one of those.
Basically, it is perilously storming over here.
Oh, wow. So you're risking your very life, is what I'm hearing, to be on Rogue Transmissions. You're basically Obi-Wan. You're Obi-Wan from Attack of the Clones. You're like, Master Sifo-Dyas is creating a cloud armor. That's Bethany.
Yes.
To Obi-Wan, you listen. So for those of you guys who don't know, which, you know, it's been long enough that it might be a fair number of you on the Patreon here. And I might include this just because it's, I think I might include this in the main podcast feed a little bit later. Or maybe we put it on the mailing list, because I think it'd be fun to have available to the public this sort of history. The Star Wars Report started after Mark and I had been doing the EU cast for a few months, I want to say, in 2000. Oh boy, here we go. This is where Riley's memory is going to be super fuzzy. I want to say it was. I have to gauge it off of Celebration, Bethany. We hadn't launched at Celebration 5, but we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it would have been, and that was 2010. So we launched 2011. We launched in like March or April.
Or maybe late 2010.
No, I remember that because I distinctly remember it being at the in the spring. And so I do remember that, and so that was episode zero, but that was born out of some of the stuff that I had kind of gotten my feet wet. I'd gotten a taste for podcasting.
Yeah, but don't you remember when we went to Celebration, even though we didn't have the show yet?
Yeah, we were doing the Bothan Report.
We had the Bothan Report name.
Yeah.
And you took I think you borrowed Stephen Rice's recorder in order
to get what's her face
Carolyn
Blakiston. You have Bethany, you have so much a better memory than I do. That is amazing.
So fun fact for you, Riley, when you and I both applied for EUcast, that was in around October, November of 2009.
Whoa.
I was on episode 70 and you, I believe, were on episode 72.
Nice.
There was me, you, and I can't remember. I think her name might have been Sarah. She used to be Jaina Solo on the EU Cantina forums.
Oh man.
But she was between us, man. She was.
Dude,
she came on next.
That's...
And both of you guys had me sweating. I was just like, ah, crap. I mean, and especially with her, I mean, that was before fangirls really exploded, you know, where it was like everybody wanted to get a fangirl on their network. It was like, now it's like, man, now you just have to have that representation.
Well,
just so you know what you're missing out on.
Yeah, it's man, yeah, that's crazy.
My
favorite
thing is when Bethany would get going and you would cut her off and I'd be like, let her go.
Oh, well, that's basically the story of our entire relationship of podcasting. No, Bethany,
oh,
you mentioned it.
But,
yeah,
but,
it was so EUcast, then Bothan Report for a while, and Bothan Report was the era when this audio drop came about. Here it is. I actually have it here.
Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
There it is. That's Carolyn Blakiston, circa 2010.
Now, and I think I came on as the EU correspondent around, what, episode 9 or 11 or so? Because you guys started out that one all on your own. I was still, at that time, trying to get EUcast to continue on, but it kept tripping and stuff, and we kept doing host shuffling and stuff, and it was like,
yeah,
man, I got to be doing something else. And you were like, we have nobody really to talk the EU. I'm like, let's bring it in.
Yeah, it turns out when you want to do a podcast, it's better to have control over it. And so we just launched our own. Bruce, were you listening back in the day? I seem to remember you saying you listened to the Bothan Report, in which case I'm so sorry.
Well, no, I found the Bothan Report on the website, and it was the last episode that was on there. I was like, oh, great. I find this podcast and they're done. And somehow, I don't remember how, and maybe you said it on the show, but I remember that led me to the Star Wars Report. And so I came in like right at the beginning of the Star Wars Report.
Oh, nice. See, I kind of hesitate to pull up any clips, but the show has changed a lot. I mean, but that's the thing, is it's always constantly been changing.
It did, you know, I listened back to the first episode not that long ago because I was just curious.
Oh, really?
And I was surprised. Yeah, I mean, I think things have gotten better over time, but it didn't sound as bad as I thought.
I'll take it.
Like, I thought, oh, I'm going to listen to this and go, man, it used to be really bad. But I was like, no, it's not too bad.
Yeah, this is, I can suffer through this. I can make it. Bethany, So 2011 was a big year, because when I look back on it, I realized that we got a pretty good running start for a podcast. Now, granted, there were only like four ones, but like 2011 was a big year. It was Fan Days and our first Dragon Con.
That's also when we also lined up Beyond the Films, too.
That's true. That's true. Like, and that first Dragon Con, that was where, we were just a couple of kids hustling around trying to get some interviews here and there. And we got a few, like, Fan Days was where we met Steve Sansweet, which is where we got this drop.
This is Steve Sansweet. You're listening to the Star Wars Report.
And that. So, like, I'm sure Steve would have not remember that at all. But that was where we interviewed him at Fan Days, and that was a lot of fun. We interviewed Dave Acord and Matthew Wood there. That's where we met J.C. Reifenberg. But that was a big deal. That was I don't know. Well, actually, yeah. So here's Matt Woods. Which, by the way, as I go through some of this old audio, I'm just realizing how much, like, I remember recording this, and like, I only wanted to ask him to do a drop for the show. You know, hey, this is so-and-so, you're listening to the Star Wars Report. So we would ask this because, you know, it helps the show sound more professional, and we would do these interviews and stuff. So when Matt Wood did it, this is audio from 2011. This is what it sounded like.
Hi, this is Matthew Wood. I play the voice of General Grievous in Star Wars The Clone Wars, and I'm here at Fan Days, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
So I remember distinctly being like super, super bummed that I was editing it and I was trying to figure out a way to cut out Fan Days without it sounding weird and edited, and I couldn't. So I just had to leave. I'm here at Fan Days, and I wanted it to be like a more long, like, I just remember this kind of stuff as we were doing the show. I don't know, but do you have any favorite parts about those early days in that first year that we launched, Bethany?
Yeah, I remember how scared you particularly were of asking for interviews.
I mean,
and if you will recall, there we actually had Dutch and Kathy, who work with Stephen Stanton, Dutch, particularly at Fan Days, egged us on to ask for interviews. He's like, no, you treat this job seriously. Mm. Y'all are reporters. Go up and ask people for interviews. You should definitely ask.
Listen.
You know, this person and this person and this person for interviews. You know, all they can do is say no, and then you won't get an interview, which you're already not getting.
I do remember this.
Man, they were so nice.
Some things don't change, because that's basically the exact conversation I had with them just this past detour. That was early days. We did and Dragon Con, that's the first thing, it became our home convention, because that's where we landed a lot of those what I'd call rodeo style interviews, where you just walk up to someone and ask, hey, can I interview? This is where, you know, this is sometimes before we were even press. We would just like walk up and say, hey, you got a second? And people would do it.
Episodes 9 through 14, in fact, were all dedicated to Dragon Con.
No way. Yeah, and we did this.
Yeah. So our first episode is Celebration 6 or Bust. Then we've got Connecting with the Old Republic, Flying Solo, Vader's Fist, Help Me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, You're My Only Hope, Lego Speak, A Chat with Tarkin, Geeking Out, that's Steve Glosson's first episode, 8, and then all the Dragon Cons.
Wait, Steve was on episode 8?
Episode 8. That was Steve's first appearance.
Man.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
What blows my mind is, like, when I start putting the dates to these things, you know, like, at this time, this is when me and Nathan were getting together and starting Beyond the Films as the dedicated EU aspect. So I wasn't flooding our regular podcast with just, you know, my passion for the EU. And getting to do that with Nathan was exciting. But we launched in 2012, and it doesn't at all feel like when we did that Kate was pregnant with Jaina. Because Jaina was born February of 2012. And I'm like, wait, really? Like, I could have sworn, it boggles my mind now. Well, and it'll be easier to track that one because it's the same age as my daughter.
That is, man, that's true. Yeah, we got, that was when we interviewed Daniel Logan for the first time. We interviewed Timuera Morrison. I love the way he says it, too. He's like, Timuera Morrison. Did we lose Bethany? We may have lost Bethany.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to take that as...
Teresa's first appearance was on episode 31.
Mm-hmm. We met her at Fan Days. Yeah.
32, Duchess. That must have been when we had the actress that plays Duchess Satine. Man, now there... I hope you have that clip, because, dude, she was...
I wish...
That's one of my favorite episodes, because, honestly, I felt like her and I were flirting, like, shamelessly. It was so good.
I forgot about that. But that kind of led into Celebration 6. Now, Bruce, you were listening at the time. We also met at Dragon Con. I don't remember what the first year was, but I remember you having a stack of magazines that you gave to me and said hi that you listened to the show. And like that was a huge deal in my world because that literally never happened.
You're the one that gave him all those insiders? I remember being so jealous when that happened. I was like, man, I don't have half of those.
I know. I'm ready to have him back now. You can get him back. I don't even know if you still have them.
To be honest, I have no idea where they are. They're sitting around here somewhere. Maybe we could give those away, just like as you know. This is the we'll autograph them, Bruce, and then give.
That'd be cool. I don't know if that was maybe that was the first Dragon Con I met you. I think it was the second one. I don't think I would have done that the first time I met you, though. I don't know.
I think it was the first time, though. Like, because I remember Riley was super stoked. It was like it came out of nowhere. Like,
that blew me away. That was a lot of fun. And
I know it wasn't the first Dragon Con that you guys did the show at, because I remember listening to you guys do those, like Mark said, episodes 9 through 14 or whatever it was, because I remember you doing the stairwell and all that. And I was like, you know what? Next year, if I see them, I need to say hi.
Oh, there you go. And then little did he know. He's been roped in.
He listened to all 300 episodes.
Episode 27 was our Beyond the Film special when we were launching that.
I remember.
How do you know all this, Mark? Do you have a list?
I have a directory on the actual website that I created. So there's like 200 episodes are all on that directory. I haven't updated in a long time, but
yeah, we do need to get back and update.
It makes it easy
those.
To get the first ones.
Yeah,
but
we got that. I mean, and it wasn't too long before we got into the Celebration 6 stuff, which is where we got to hang out with Steve Glosson, and this is a big moment in the show because this is where Steve infamously declared as we were sitting in line waiting for the closing ceremonies that they're going to be making new films.
7, 8, 9.
That's
episode 46 is titled Future of the Star Wars EU. 46th episode, and we were like, already starting
to worry. I wonder
what's
going to happen to the EU, huh? That's where I actually have clips from it. I don't know. They're not in any particular order, but famously, all right, a couple things. At Fan Days, I famously was just recording as we were talking to Bethany, and we were behind in between some of the booths, and Ben Burtt stood up trying to get out, and we were definitely, well, take a listen.
Let's get out of Ben Burtt's way here.
That was just me. I forgot I have that clip. All right, here we go. Here's Steve Glosson, 2012, right in the closing ceremonies line. They didn't even announce it then. They announced it a few weeks later, like a month or two later, that they were doing new films. But this is Steve in 2012.
It's going to be George up on the screen. He's just going to go 7, 8, 9.
Nice.
Let's see. We got
76, episode 76, A New Era. That's the one where we brought in Jimmy Mack.
Oh, nice. And then here we go.
It's not. Look, guys, don't get your hopes up.
and then he said,
"See, my dirty little secret is I don't believe a word of what I'm saying, but it's so convincing."
I'm so happy we have that for posterity's sake. Ah.
Oh, Brian Young joined us in episode 80. Man, I don't even remember that one.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
Yeah. So, all right. Favorite moments. Because I've been kind of going through. Let's round this out. Because we could like literally sit here all day and talk about the different things. But I just want to, if there's a moment that jumps out to you in our time of recording, or a favorite episode or experience from doing the podcast, I want to see if we can round it out. Bruce, you want to start us off, or Mark, whoever jumps in first.
Well, I need to run because I got to take my daughter to ballet. But one thing I just want to mention that I remember, it's not like necessarily a favorite, but since this is episode 300, when you did episode 100, I remember sending in an email and you read my email on the show. And it was a really dumb email where I was saying, like, I remember when you guys were just babies and diapers and now you're 100 years old. I don't know. It was really stupid.
and we loved you for it anyway. Exactly. Bruce, yeah, get out of here. I know
I'm
you got to roll.
Bruce, I'm looking at that episode right now and looking at the picture of us in the Portland airport. Boy, we did look like babies.
That is true. That is so true. That is so true. All right, Bruce, we'll talk to you soon, and we'll get you on next week's show.
All right, I'll see you at episode 600.
All right, a deal.
Bruce,
all
right,
see ya.
See ya.
Later, Bruce.
Bruce
always
is like,
good to have our man Bruce
peace
in here.
Out.
Man, just a lot of good topics.
Right? Mark, any moments jump out to you? Kind of mentioned when we met that you could tell that story because we actually met up in Oregon pretty early on.
Yeah, in fact, okay, so that was the weekend of the 4th of July. I think it was before the 4th or just right after, one or the other, because it was 2012. My daughter was barely even 6 months old, and we took her all the way up to go see my grandparents at the other end of the state and worked it so we would be in Portland at the time when you guys flew in.
Because we were doing Civil Air Patrol thing.
Wendy's or something. Yeah, yeah. You guys were like bouncing, literally like had like an hour. And it was like, man, let's make this happen.
Yeah, because
that was cool.
It was early, that was early on to my I was a cadet in Civil Air Patrol still at that point. So, and of course, that's kind of what led me to where I am today, where I'm going to go into the Air Force. But I knew that where were we? We were at the Evergreen Aviation place. Where is, I forget where in Oregon that is.
That's in McMinnville.
McMinnville, thank
where
you.
I was born.
See, yeah. Exactly. So we were there
in fact,
for like
there's
a week.
A scout campground right behind it.
Oh, nice, nice. So there we were there for a week doing a Civil Air Patrol activity, kind of learning. It's a business academy, and you kind of get to learn about Evergreen Aviation and see what it's like and all that fun stuff. But I was like, we're going to be back in, you know, we're flying in and out of Portland. Mark, find your way to the airport this day if you can. And we did. And we met up in person for the first time. When was that? Yeah. That would have been probably, that was 2012?
Well, yeah. It was July 2012. It was either like the 5th or like the 3rd. It was right around the 4th. Yeah. Hey, actually, I think it was the 6th or 5th because 4th had already came. We were on our way back down. So,
nice.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
The fact that I even remember that is kind of impressive. So for me, it's like I remember all the different people we've ran into, you know, and doing the interview with Greg Rucka, how much fun we had that. And even me and you back on EUCAST when we interviewed Antonio Baldassarroni.
Yeah, that was EUCAST days. Yep. Yeah.
Alejandro. Man, that was some fun talking. It just like when all the different things would drop, you know, and we would get all excited. Like you have been deceived. And we were just like, oh my God, they got to make this live action. You know, and Disney buying out, like the panic, like you guys helped me through a lot of dark time.
it's our own little personal therapy.
I've had some very depressing. Yeah. I've had some very depressing moments. We've had some very dark endings to shows. And there was one that like, honestly, man, I was in a really low place and was like in a spot in my head where I was like, I could hurt myself. And it was just talking with you and Bruce that kept me from doing something like that. But man, it's just one of those things where, you know, you get caught up in your own stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go online with the social media and you see people just being so hateful to each other.
Yeah.
And then it starts to creep in on the thing you love, you know, your Star Wars. And you've got, you know, as me as the EU guy, you know, you've got factions of your fellow fans that have gone, I hate everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're making it worse, not only for you, but for people of your caliber. You know, it makes it hard to say, yeah, I'm an EU fan, when you've got people out there like making that the representation. You got other people telling their community. So, you know, being able to process everything that's going on with you guys and having that fresh look, the younger look, and even now we got Bruce, the older look, because at one point I was the old fogey in the group. Not that Bruce is an old fogey, but I don't know. I mean, the thing here is
the
fellowship of us, man. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I said on Twitter, you know, you take a smidge of the Illogical Rogue 2 and an extra helping of Blanton, and that really is what helped the show go around, man.
No, that's so true. And it's funny because you mentioned that, and that's a serious thing as far as like sometimes the negativity of the show, because often it's like we take turns. Like, I'll be super depressed about something and stuff, and then you'll take over. And, yeah, social media really exacerbates it. But I will say that's one thing I've really wanted to do with the show is just, like, find the part of Star Wars that I find. Honestly, like, when it comes to the Star Wars Report, I just try to find something that's fun to talk about, like, funny.
So top three things you'd like to do in the next 300 episodes.
Oh boy. All right. Well, and I'll do that, and then I'm going to finish off with a clip from Dragon Con. So don't let me forget, because otherwise I will. I want to finish with the Richard Hatch story, because I think that's the perfect way to cap all this off. Top three things to do in the next 300. That's the crazy thing, man, because with me, I'm still waiting for orders from the military side of things. So, like, I'll soon be in Bethany's position where I'll be going active duty. And so the podcast will continue. It'll probably continue weekly with you and Bruce if you guys are able to pick up the this is kind of some of the – we've talked about it here and there, but it's hard to kind of plan until we know more of the details. And that's just going to be the nature of it. But the podcast will continue in one form or fashion, and I'll continue staying as involved as I possibly can. And then, like, it's just, like, right now, the next couple things is just, like, I want to do a really great, really build the community and really get into doing more interactive, like, live shows on our Facebook page like we did some last year. I'm really looking forward to doing that again in the lead up to The Last Jedi here. Nice. I think that's going to be a great time. And I think it's so much more fun to do the show kind of with a time and place for the community together, and that's why getting together on Facebook's the perfect way to do that. So that would be probably number one. Number two is video, where I can't wait to I'll reveal it now since we've been talking about it, Mark. We're going to be doing this fall as a trial run all the way up to The Last Jedi and beyond. We're going to be producing the show as a video version for the first segment, and that's going to live on our Facebook page and YouTube channel as well as live, so everyone can jump in live for the opening segment. And then after that, you know, you can tune into the whole podcast, but the first like 15 or 20 minutes is just going to be kind of us talking about the lead story of whatever's going on in the Star Wars world, and incorporating video, I think, is going to be a really big time. That kind of ties into some other plans that we're working together right now for the Star Wars Reports YouTube channel. So there's a lot of stuff going on with video. And you know what? The last thing, honestly, is more... There's so many things to choose from. It's probably, honestly, events. I absolutely love doing the live shows at Celebration and doing more events. So as the show continues to grow and as more opportunities come to do live shows like a Celebration, things like that, and then just going to events with friends. I just absolutely love Celebration. That's become a tradition. And now this year I've been going crazy. Like, it's already happened a lot, but it's going to keep happening in the future where we just get to go. I went out to LA and D23, and then we've got New York Comic Con coming up, and we had Dragon Con, and we'll have Celebration next year, or the year after. I lose track of time. but that's it, just doing the show and taking it more live and doing more events. I'd say those are the big three. How about you?
For me, I'm very similar. For me, it would be some interviews I would love for us to get to do. I've said for a long time now, I would love to get to chat with Freddie Prinze Jr. So all you patrons out there, if you guys want to hashtag us and help make that happen, that's
we'll
all
see.
On you.
We'll see, yeah.
I won't say that I had a hand in that. But not only him, but I'd like to also maybe get Mark Hamill. I think that'd be really cool. Christy Golden would be awesome to be able to chat with right now. And Ashley Eckstein. I know you've had a chance to talk to her like two, maybe even three times.
It's actually, it's cool. Being worked on right now for New York Comic Con as well. So
nice. And then my other one, which is just shameful as Freddie Prinze Jr., would be Ewan McGregor. I would love to get to chat with him. And then I'm looking forward to doing more video stuff. The upgrading of equipment and stuff has been, you know, we've progressively been getting better and better with the gear we're getting and stuff. And almost that point where I can showcase more of the stuff behind me and actually have that collection, you know, because I mean, it's in the time we've been doing this, I've went from having my collection in my bedroom to out my living room to out in its garage.
Now you have the garage studio.
Garage.
I love the on-air sign, by the way. The on-air sign's great touch.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, exactly. I mean, slowly been adding all these things, and it'd be really cool to get to showcase some of that, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Because that was kind of the goal originally with like that on-air sign, was so I could do those kind of fun things. And then lastly, I think one of the other cool things that I would like to be able to do is do the events as well. You know, I've done mm-hmm. Celebration Anaheim. That really was it. Like, yeah. I've never got to go to Dragon Con, which, that being our kind of home base, you know, I mean, it, even though which, I'm not like, ever there, but it's definitely a home base.
Because you're going to add incrementally, like, which is the one event that you really want to make the next one you want to add to your roster?
Honestly, like, I go back and forth with the whole Celebration, but I really think Dragon Con, I think in the aspect of what our network is doing,
yeah.
I think that that's a really good opportunity for me to kind of be more known. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm the odd man out in the aspect of like, everybody knows Bethany, everybody knows
well,
you.
And that's, it's and hard
just
because
like the other guy that does other stuff that like comes on.
Well, and that's the difference between, that's the unfortunate reality too of the, that value of in-person interaction, because mm-hmm. there's only so much things that podcasting and social media and stuff do. So that's why I do love those live events.
Well, and even Anaheim, like okay, we did the podcast listener meetup, you know, I met Bruce, I met mm-hmm. a whole bunch of people,
yeah,
and a lot of people I was literally like, it was all happening so fast, like Skoldrin from Roco Depot, I did not get to talk to him as long as I wanted, and in fact when I think back on it, I felt like I came across rude, because like I was in such a tailspin at that moment, like so many people were coming up that I didn't realize that was him until he said it again, and I was like, I think back on that and I'm like, man, I hope I didn't like upset him that night. Cause,
Mark,
like,
you were a popular guy too. I remember that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, like I still like meeting Bruce, like it's funny because I remember meeting Bruce, but I didn't at all put two and two together. And same with Devin. I totally didn't put together that was her back in the day when I was selling
all, oh,
the,
wow.
getting all the shirts ready uh-huh. for that. Like, yeah, it just it boggles my mind.
That was
all
a lot
the
of
people
fun.
That when I look through the notes of all the tracking of who I shipped it to and stuff, and mm-hmm. Dan Miller, a lot of our patrons and stuff were there for the original shirt orders and stuff. It's,
yeah,
it's a lot
true.
Of fun. Like, and, yeah. and getting the stickers that, you know, the first time I did that, like you're doing it now, but the first time you get your own sticker with the podcast, mm-hmm. and stuff, it was so exciting. I can't wait to get buttons and stupid stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
that I think true. That's the awesome side of it too. And you look at the fact that we got 16K on Twitter or 26K. Yeah, no, that's what it was. We were at camp, at scout camp, and I was bragging that the Twitter account had 16K. And I opened it up, I'm like, oh no, we're at 26K. And I'm like, I'm very nonchalant about it. They're like, oh yeah, no big deal. I'm like, yeah, I have no idea how it got that big. I just love it though, man. We took a risk. We gambled. And I feel like it, for our fandom and sometimes for my sanity, it paid off.
Yeah. No, it's.
But don't forget the Richard.
Yeah, well, and because like a lot of this, so much of this does come like that dinner at Celebration Orlando, it was just amazing. I mean, a thousand thank yous to Joe, who came up with the idea, and it was just so much fun. But yeah, those live events is where it's at. And like speaking of live events, like Dragon Con. It is our home convention, and that's where we kind of had a stable roster of people that we would, in the first few years, go and ask for interviews and do it. We don't do as many interviews there now just because we've kind of done it, and it's, you know, they're a lot more strict about the process and getting yeah. approvals from all the right people, and it's like, it's a huge hassle to get interviews. So, and like, interviews in general are sometimes not worth, this is my opinion. There are some key, like the ones you mentioned, I think it'd be really fun. I want key interviews with some celebrities. Some of my favorite interviews though are, you know, people like Brian Young and you know, podcasters, writers who have,
or Darren, like, oh man,
yeah, yeah. No,
that
true.
That little conversation we had with him was mind-boggling.
Yeah, no, exactly. So but one of those recurring people that we would talk to is the nicest celebrity I've ever interacted with, consistently, easily. And listen, I've interviewed Ashley Eckstein several times, so that's a high bar to defeat. But that was Richard Hatch, who passed away this year, and I was so sad. It was one of the first times. Often these celebrity deaths will hit you, and I don't. It never really. They never really affect me. I think the way I see a lot of it on Twitter and stuff. But I mean, I'm sad, but it never really feels that personal. But this felt personal because it was personal, because every year we would be going through the kind of celebrity hall where all the booths were for signing, and we'd see him there, and the first year we asked for an interview, and the second year he was being friendly. We were talking, and he was like, "Well, hey, why don't we just do a quick interview?" And he's like, "Sure," because he comes. He would come to Dragon Con every year since like 1989. So, you know, everyone just kind of knew him there. To be honest, most people already had autographs, so he usually didn't have a whole lot much of a line. And he would always do their Battlestar Galactica panels. Great guy, super nice, always very flirty with Bethany, which is it's kind of funny. But I remember I think it was the third interview we did with him. We did a total of three over 3 years. And I just kind of got to talking creative process and, like, because he's produced a lot, written a lot, acted a lot, but he's been behind the camera a lot too. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about, we just got to talking about the process. And, well, the first time this is our first interview with him, and this is actually a clip I pulled out. Here we go.
We're here with Mr. Richard Hatch. Welcome to Dragon Con. Of course, I should be saying that. This is my first year.
Well, you're doing a good job. Sounds like you know what you're doing.
And I was like, yes, Starbuck approved. That was like a real confidence booster.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I put some bed music on this, but I don't really think any other setup needs to happen. This is Richard Hatch talking about the creative process and what it means to why we do what we do. And this applies to podcasters, bloggers, it applies to filmmakers, it applies to YouTubers. And this is literally just like my philosophy when it comes to doing this stuff. And I think 300 episodes in, this is the perfect way to cap off this Rogue Transmissions episode. So let's take a listen to Richard Hatch.
All big things started small. You don't have to do something big. Just start small. Start doing the things that you love doing. Start discovering where your talents and abilities lie. And then start finding ways to use those talents and abilities in the marketplace. Every place that you can use it, use it. And it will grow. And you'll meet other people. And ultimately, you will find either a job or connect to somebody who's got a business that can use your skills. Or you'll discover that you've got something unique and different to offer, and you'll start your own business. But follow your gut, follow your own truth, and don't let people get in the way or dissuade you. Most people live lives of quiet desperation because they don't follow their heart and don't follow their gut because they let fear and insecurity stop them.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just a bunch of small steps. Everybody can make small steps, and that's really the secret to life. Small steps will lead you home.
Guys, thanks for listening, and here's to the next 300 episodes.